I always tell our team, because sometimes we have someone do the offering, I'm like, it's always so weird. I'm like, hey, it's me again. Like, it's just like, there's nothing I can do besides like, I'm back. Like, here we are. Awkward. Just embrace it. Let's just embrace the awkwardness. Just hug yourself real fast. Come on. Just hug. See, some of my awkward friends are like, I love this. Thank you so much. I was wondering if I came to a church that hugs themselves. Hey, we're so glad. We're so glad you came out. Thank you again. Again, my name is Sean Jensen, and we're starting a brand new series this week. And I'm grateful that we take a few weeks to talk about specific subjects. And I do want to say one thing before we continue on. And I want a response from this, and I want to know what you actually feel about this. Who's grateful that the tomb is still empty? I mean, there was such expectation and anticipation and just enthusiasm last week. I'm like, guess what? The tomb's still empty. We can do that every single week. So I'm glad that you guys are here and having a good time. And if this is your first time, you will hear people clap or say that's good. It's just a response they do. They don't do it for me. They do it because God's registered in your heart. Feel free to have some fun. It's okay. Feel the thunder. It has been on our heart to talk about the voice of God. And so we decided as we were praying that we think that the voice of God can take care of a lot of life's issues. And I don't know about you, but you've probably heard me say on stage or someone say, I just really sense God told me this. Now, first off, I think sometimes we use that a lot. Like, it's like, God told me to date you. Oh, God told me not anymore. Like, God is not schizophrenic. Ladies, if someone comes in and says, God told me to date you, you should say, he's going to tell me too, so you're just going to have to slow your roll before he tells me as well. But there, some people say, what does that sound like? Pastor Sean says stuff about hearing the voice of God. What does that look like? What does that sound like? How do I hear it? And I know people come wondering those things, and so we want to talk a little bit about that. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about feeling the thunder, because it says that God's voice is like thunder. And so we want to become so familiar with the voice of God, it's like we can feel it, like we can sense it. And that's kind of what we want to do as we journey through this together. But the first thing I want to say is, if I told you that there was a secret for you gaining and benefiting in life, like if it gave you the advantage to make the right decisions, to make the right business moves, to get the right house, how to take care of your kids or to take care of crazy situations. If I told you there was a secret on how to gain and have the advantage in those things in life, wouldn't you want to know what that is? That would be something I want to know. Like, I want to know how I can raise my kids or what decisions to make when I don't know what to do. And there's a business thing I'm looking at, and I know this looks good, but I need to hear God's voice on this matter. It says this in John 12. Jesus is talking. He says this, Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder. Feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. That's why I'm not in the worship team. While others declared an angel had spoken to him, then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Jesus says that voice is for your benefit. And this is the verse that we're going to use throughout the next 4 weeks, is that we want to let you know that God's voice is for our benefit. Meaning it's for our gain. It's for our advantage. I'm telling you that when we begin to hear the voice of God, we will gain in life. And that's why I want to talk about it as a pastor, because I realize I can talk about surface things, or if I really want to see the people under my care succeed, I got to talk about the things that will allow them to succeed and live the full life that God promised for them. And so I want to begin to train our church how to hear the voice of God, because I truly believe not only people are already doing it, but when you hear it, it doesn't just allow you to gain in life, but when you hear the voice of God, it affects other people as well. It really does. And I want to let you know, too, like I don't want to get way off field here, but I've seen people talk about how they've had the right business move because they heard the voice of God. They've known how to teach their kids and raise their kids. They know how to lead the church. And there's been times that me and my wife, we pray before we go out to eat. I say, God, I don't have money right now to take Liz out because of our budget to eat, but yet we need to get out of the house because the kids are driving us crazy, and we just need some time because we need a healthy marriage. You need to date your spouse, by the way. If you don't date your mate, you need to start now. And when we go on a date, I was like, I don't have the money, but God, like, we're going to go because I'm going to sacrifice because I think it's an investment. And we'll pray. We'll be like, God, where should we eat at? Because most of the time we can't make a decision. And you're like, you pray about that? Why not? Why not talk to God about that? He wants you to talk to him constantly. Like, hey, where should we go to eat? And there's been times where we sense in our heart to go somewhere to eat. Even we're like, we haven't been there in a long time. We should just go. And I swear, like 80% of the time we do that, someone says, your bill has been taken care of. Do you believe that God even wants to get down even into the minutia little things of your life? That he says, hey, if I can do these little things, I can take care of your big things too in your business and your life. And sometimes God just reminds us that, hey, I'm here to listen. I'm not saying we use it and abuse it. I'm just saying there's times that we want to hear the voice of God. And so I want to talk about that. So this week we're going to learn about listening to the voice of God. Next week we have a speaker that's amazing. She's going to be here to preach to house. They're like, it's your wife. No, it's not. You just need to come. It's going to be good. And we're going to continue on with this because Liz and I are going to North Carolina leaving Tuesday. We're going to Myrtle Beach with her family. We're going to have vacation. I know some people are like, after you talked about getting money, oh, I see what's going on. Actually, my daughter said, we should go to North Carolina. And we're like, it's too expensive. We can't go. And she said, let's pray. And we prayed that God would give us money to go fly. And an hour later, someone dropped $500 off at her house. I was like, Avery, pray for a Porsche. Pray for a bigger house. Our church needs money. I was like, bring your family over. Avery's praying for you. But no, God blessed us, and we're thankful for it. And we're grateful for our church who loves us enough to say, hey, we want to bless you and your family. So thank you for that as well. But we're going to learn to hear the voice of God. I'm excited about it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that our hearts would be open, our ears would be open to hear. As your word says, Lord, he who has ears, let them hear. Not just something physical, but something deeper than that. We want to hear your voice for our life, for our purpose, for our values, and most importantly, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Old Testament scripture, 1 Samuel, verse 3. 1 Samuel, starting in verse 3. Real fast, the context is Samuel is a 12-year-old boy serving in the Lord's temple. He is serving under Eli, who is a priest. Samuel's mom was Hannah, who couldn't have children, and we see her story before this, and she actually said, God, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord's work. That's why we still have child dedication to this day. She dedicated him to the Lord's work, left him at the temple with Eli. He has been there for 12 years, and that's where we're taking place right now. So he's inside the temple, taking care of the temple with the priest Eli, which is where the presence of God was kept. Remember, this is Old Testament. Now the presence of God is with us. And this is what happens to Samuel when he's 12 years old. This is when he first hears the voice of God. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon then in those days, but now it's different. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle or the temple near the ark of God. We'll talk more about what the ark of God is. That's where the presence was. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. The Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? First off, if it was me, I would have put more words. I'd have been like, and then Samuel went to bed shaking in his boots. Because that's terrifying. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down. If someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do something shocking in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family, the priest, from the beginning to the end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. It says that because Eli actually was asked to take care of his son's issues and he never did. So God didn't have mercy on him. He was patient with him, but he was disobedient. And in our disobedience, sometimes God has to step in and take care of some things. And so he was disobedient, but the next morning, Eli goes, Samuel, what did God tell you? How awkward was that breakfast? And he goes, and if you don't tell me the full truth, I pray that God would curse you. Samuel's like, okay, you're all in trouble. You're done. You have been a terrible dad, and your kids are not going to live by the sacrifice of their offerings. Can I go now? Right? But this is a story of Samuel first hearing the voice of God. And I want to use this story to start our series this week of how we can begin to listen and hear the voice of God based off this scripture. Because Samuel first heard the word of God right here. It said that he was not familiar with the Lord's voice, but he heard it at age 12. He was in the temple of God for 12 years, yet was not familiar with God. It reminds me how I lived through church my entire life but didn't know Christ. Could it be that we have been around the things of God but don't know who God is? See, Samuel was in this moment where he first heard the word of God, and we're going to look at his story and how we can hear from God's word. The first thing I want to talk about is this. Good reception starts with the right position. Good reception starts with the right position. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. And so I thought, what better way than talk about some 21st century mechanisms about cell phones and say some reception. Did anyone else go right to cell phone when I said the word reception, right? Like, no? Okay. Good reception starts with the right position. I thought about cell phones and how when it comes to listening to God, I've noticed that in different people's spectrum, it's like, when I first heard about it, I was like, how does that work? Like, do some people have better reception than other people? Like, do some people have AT&T phones and the other have T-Mobile? Like, one works, one never does. Like, you know, like, how does that work? Like, you know, when you're driving around, see, I have AT&T, and when I'm in Pontiac, I have great reception. It works everywhere I go. But as soon as I go into Fairbury, I might as well throw that thing out the window. Does anyone know? All my AT&T folk were just like, amen, preach it. All right, we're going to have an altar right now for your phone. Come on down. But I realize that sometimes people realize that. They're like, oh, okay, like, I have reception here, but I don't have reception there. And if I go to this place, and if I go, like, what does it look like? If I'm here, do I get reception? If I'm here, do I not? And what happens is I think on Sunday we come to church, and we're like, I totally have good reception here. God is speaking. We have worship songs. And we do all this. But can I tell you that God wants you to have good reception on Wednesday while you're at that mundane job that you can't stand? That God wants you to have good reception while you're at your job or at your school and you're learning about biology for the fourth time and mitochondria and whatever that stuff is that I still have stuck in my brain. That God actually wants you to have reception, not just when everyone's going good here, but he wants you to have reception when you're in a trouble, in a situation where you have to make a response for your business. He wants you to have good reception wherever you are. And I believe that your reception is determined by your position. I thought about landline phones. For anyone who has born before 1995, you can just turn it off for a second. But for landlines, we used to have phones connected to the source, to the phone source. And we would never have to worry about reception issues because we were always connected to the source. And I could spend some time right now and just decide to preach to you guys and say, oh, if you want to hear the reception of God, you got to stay connected. If you're connected to the source, you'll never drop reception. But if we're honest with ourselves, we're more like cell phones and we're not like landlines. I mean, I still to this day, I'm like, can you hear me now? To this day, I'm still wondering, God, are you there? And I think we have moments where we're in reception and we're out of reception. But what I want to talk about when it comes to the voice of God is what does it mean to be in the right position? It says in the story that we will learn about Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. It said in the story that Samuel was serving the Lord by assisting Eli. No one likes the assist. We want to know how many points people have. We could care less about the assist that people have. You see, in the story, Samuel was actually serving God by serving someone else. And I can honestly say the only way to serve God is when you're serving someone else. And when we begin to serve someone else, we begin to serve God. And it said in this time, he was serving in the God's house. And I thought about cell phones and how there's been times I've called someone and I call them back, and as soon as I call, it's like, do-do-do-do. The phone number you're trying to reach is unavailable. Like, it doesn't even ring. It just goes, do-do-do-do-do. The phone number you're trying to reach is unavailable. Now, either they don't want to talk to me, and they're like, oh, Pastor Sean. Or what happens is they say, oh, sorry, you're trying to reach me. I was actually out of service. I was out of service. I have no service where I'm at. I'm out of service. And because they're out of service, someone can't talk to them. They can't reach them. They're not available. Because they're out of service, they're unavailable. My question for the church today is, are you out of service? Are you out of service? Because as soon as we're not serving, We put ourselves out of position to hear from God. Now you're thinking, oh, he's just talking about Sunday serving. No. I'm not just talking about serving on Sunday. We love our volunteers. You should jump on the team. It's like family. And not just that, we have more people coming that we can serve. And as we grow, we need more people to do it. That's great. And you never look more like Christ than when you're serving. But Samuel was serving a mundane job. He was serving Eli. And because he was serving, he was right in the position he needed to hear the voice of God, right near the ark of God. If he wasn't serving, he wouldn't have been in the place to hear God's word. But because he was serving, he was in service, he was available to receive the call from God. You see, Samuel's in service, but the truth is, we live in a culture where we want to hear more about the word of God than the works of God. We spend our whole life looking for a word, and he's looking for us to do his work. Man, I've been a victim of this so much. God, when you say, and when you do, and when I'll pray about this. And he said, Samuel was doing the work of God. And while he was doing the work of God, I brought the word of God. Because here's the truth. When you get a word from God, it's going to result in the work of God. So you might as well be doing the work of God before the word of God comes. Because when the word of God comes, you'll be doing the work of God. Does it make sense? Is everyone catching on what I'm putting down there? Because when you're doing the work, we spend a lot of time idolizing the word of God, which is amazing. We need the word of God. Don't misunderstand me. But we walk around saying, God, what's my word? God, what's my word? And he's looking for people who are already working. Samuel was in position. He was in service. Now, here's the truth. Sean, I serve on Sunday. This is bigger than Sunday, guys. I hope I didn't get you to believe that just serving on Sunday is what God's asked us to do. That's great. We should do it. But if God's not looking for believers who serve on Sunday and complain at their jobs on Monday. Ouch. God's not looking for people who serve on Sunday excited and on Wednesday they're complaining about the workplace and where they're at. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. God wants you to serve at your job place just as excited as you are to serve the people here on Sunday. So you may be in a position. Samuel was in a position that he was serving and assisting a blind man who couldn't see well, which means there were times he had to walk next to him. He had to do janitorial work around the temple. He had to sweep. He had to clean. And the reason why he ran to his bedside when he heard the voice of God was because Eli may have had to get up to use the restroom, and he would assist him to the restroom. But God said, because he was serving Eli, he was serving me. Just because you don't like your job doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord where you are. We have got to realize that God's asking us, you want to hear God's voice? He's saying, why can I hear it so well on Sunday, but not on Wednesday? Because you go on Wednesday looking how the business can serve you instead of realizing God put you in that business to serve others and people who need it. You are in a culture where people are looking for something real and authentic. And they said, if you begin to look on other people's needs, you can serve the Lord by serving your boss. You can serve the Lord by serving your coworker. You can serve the Lord by taking care of their lunch. You can serve the Lord by praying with that guy at the gym. You can serve the Lord by just having a joyful attitude. And when you're serving God, he says, then the word comes. I remember when I went to Tulsa and began in Bible school, I started interning. And I believe that when I begin to intern and begin to put God's things first, that's when I begin to hear God's word. Do you know what I was doing? Stacking chairs. And I hated it. I was like, I've got a word in God in my heart. I'm anointed to be a preacher. And my pastor's like, if you can't put the chairs up, you don't deserve the platform. Why? Because you realize that from the street to the platform, it's all serving. And when you begin to put God's work first, the word of God came. And so my encouragement for you today would be maybe the job you're at, you're there on purpose. And can I tell you something? Nothing makes a job more fun than when you make it about other people. You know how you can start enjoying your life? Wake up saying, how can I bless someone at Dairy Queen today? Wake up saying, I'm going to put two little swirlies on the top of that to make someone super happy. I'm going to give Pastor Sean an extra chicken nugget because he preached so good this past Sunday. What can you do in your place right now that says, I'm going to go the second mile? Jesus said, don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles. There's some people in your business. God said, I am not going to take you away from that position until that person finds the love of Jesus. Maybe you're there on a mission. And he says, if you are in service, I'll tell you what to say, when to speak, and what to do. And I've seen people who have come to this church someone who trained a person in the gym to start training and buy them the church because I'm a trainer. Person came last week and decided to follow Jesus. Could it be that where you're at is on purpose? He was assisting, and because he was assisting, I'm telling you, if you want to hear the voice of God, you gotta do the work of God. People who do the work of God begin to hear the word of God. And the reason why I know that is because a lot of time people who aren't doing the work of God, they're ignoring the word from God, and they become numb to that reception. He's waiting for us to respond. Because the truth is, it says, do not grumble or complain. Jesus served, so we will serve. Serve one another in love and in freedom, which means now that we know that, we should do it, because God's word is the Bible. That's his voice. So right now when I read scripture, God's voice is going out. And he says, will you get back in service? Today, I felt like some people are going to be like, I need to get back in service. Some of you are serving on Sunday. Great. Start serving people in your job place. Wake up tomorrow saying, what can I do to make a difference in someone else's life? Serve someone at your school. What can I do to make my teacher's job better? They are underpaid for what they do. Give them a gift card to Bernardi's. Do something. Number two, if we want to hear God, we need to be near God. If we want to hear God, we need to be near God. Now, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, because some people are like, duh. But really, let's think about this. In order to hear God, we need to be near God. Look at this word near. Does anyone notice what I'm noticing in the word near? Ear. Come on, let's give it up for everybody in here. I make it super simple. So some of you got really excited, like, ear. Am I right? Ear. Isn't it crazy that the word ear is not just in here, but it's also in near? In order to hear God's voice, in order to hear someone's voice clearly, sometimes you have to get near. You see, I realized in Scripture that as we look throughout it, God oftentimes whispers. Now, he's got two voices. We'll talk about it. He's got an outside voice and an inside voice. Now, I didn't want to spend time talking about the outside voice. I'm actually not going to spend any time talking about his outside voice, and here's why. Because if you hear God's outside voice, first off, you're going to need a change of pants, and you're going to know it's him. So I don't need to spend any time talking about it, because you're going to be like, oh, God, that was him. Like, oh, I hear you. Like, it's going to be like, whoa. Like, I've never heard it myself. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I know people who have, but you'll know. But what about the inside? What about that small voice? You see, when God whispers, it's hard to hear, but when you're near, I'm grateful for a God who whispers to me. You know what that shows me? He wants me close. He wants me close. He's like, I'll whisper so you can be in communion with me. I'll whisper so you never stay too far away from me. It's like manipulative kind of, but it's not. It's like he's like whispering, like, as long as I whisper, you gotta stay close to hear my voice. That's love. That's care. And in order for us to hear God, we got to be near God. It says in the story that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. You see, there was a lamp in the temple, and they would wait for it to go out, but it hadn't gone out yet. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle or the temple, look, near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? So we see, I got to explain to you what's going on. There was a temple built in the Old Testament, and in the temple was the Ark of God. Now, if you've seen Indiana Jones, it's nothing like that. So if you look at, well, there's some similarities, but if you haven't seen Indiana Jones, you need to see it. It's amazing. But the Ark of God was actually a box that enclosed the presence of God. So actually, only certain people could handle the box. No one could touch it. They could only move it with giant poles, because anyone who wasn't like a priest and got close to it or a bearer, they would fall dead because of the presence of God. Anyone who touched it would fall dead because of the presence of God, because it was so powerful. And so the presence was kept in this thing called the ark. The ark was placed in the temple, and in this moment, Samuel is in the temple sleeping near the ark, which is the presence of God. Now, thank God that it said when Jesus went to the cross, it said the veil had torn, which means the presence that used to be kept in the box, it's no longer in the box. That you can experience God's presence here, in your living room, at the grocery store, while you're driving in the car and you're in the traffic jam and you're listening to some Post Malone. You can actually change it over to Elevation Worship and feel the presence of God there. I guess you could even feel the presence of God with Post Malone going, but I don't recommend it. But what I'm trying to say is God's presence can't be put inside a box. Sorry about the spit zone. It can't be put inside of a box. And so there, he's near. I'm going to act this out. If you're watching online, we're glad you're online. Thank you for coming. He's sleeping near. And it says, Samuel. Samuel. And I thought about that this week. Are we near the things of God? See, I've realized that a lot of times God does not have a talking problem. Sometimes his church has a listening problem. I don't think he ever stops talking. I just think we have a problem listening. And that's okay. We can admit it. And it says, actually, in the story, we look at the temple of God, and we look at the ark of God, which is God's presence. But it says now, in the New Testament, now that Jesus died and rose again, it said that his spirit that was with Jesus, he sent it to every believer, which means that every believer can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but someone greater than I will come and baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Paul would go around baptizing people in water, and then he would pray that they would receive the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God allows us to begin to look like Jesus. It's called sanctification. We begin to transform. We begin to be renewed. We begin to make the right choices and the right decisions. It's an inside job. And it says in 1 Corinthians, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you with the high price, so you must honor God with your body. What is he saying here? Now, this was a story. He was actually encouraging the church of Corinth. It was a church gone wild. They were nuts. They were crazy. And he was writing them a story, a letter on how to act and how to live like Christ. And he says, you got to flee all sexual immorality. And he says, why? Because you are the temple of God and the Spirit lives within you. Samuel was sleeping in the temple. I know some of you can barely see me when I'm standing up too, but he was sleeping in the temple near the presence of God. But now, he says, you are the temple, and the presence of God is in you. Which means, when you leave this place today, you got the power. I've got the power! Which means, when you leave this place, you should be pulling people up. Which means when you leave this place, you should be giving people hope. Which means when you leave this place, you should be able to pray for people and they can receive healing. Which means when you leave this place, you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which means when you leave this place, you can be bold and courageous. The Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives within you. So it's near, but how many people know that even though you're near to something, it doesn't mean you actually hear them? Anyone who has kids now understands what I'm talking about. We've learned to ignore them, right? Dad, Charlie, stop. And you're just finally like, I'm done. And what happens is you can be near to someone and still not hear them. So even though the Spirit's in you, maybe you've gotten to a point where he has spoken and asked you to do something, but the longer you say no, the harder it gets to hear his voice. So we can either begin to get near, or we can begin to, see, I've built, it sounds terrible, but I've built a habit to where I know when to ignore my girls, because I'm like, oh, this isn't that, this is just fake. And then I'm like, oh, nope, there's blood, this is real. Like, right, it's like. And what happens is we've realized that in this moment, God has probably spoken to some of you right now, you know what step to take. And he's saying those little promptings, if you take that step, that's how you begin to hear the voice of God. But if you ignore it, you're going to train yourself to ignore the voice of God. But thank God, he can restore that. You see, we have to follow those little promptings. Even when I've noticed in my life, how can God trust us to start a church, or how can God trust us to run a business if we can't first start by praying with that person at Walmart? He just says, can you do this? He whispers, try this. And so he was near the things of God. So how do we get near? God's word, his presence. That's how we get near. God's voice is the Holy Bible, the scripture. Rick Warren says, if you're looking for a voice, open up your Bible. Yes, he speaks into our heart, but how do we know what he's speaking unless we know God's word? It's always confirmed by God's word. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but what it looks like to me is that the only way to resist the devil is if you first submit to God's voice. A lot of people are trying to resist something you're submitted to. I'm here to tell you, you can't resist something you're submitted to. You can't submit to the things of the enemy and try resisting the enemy. You have to submit to God's voice when God speaks, and then he will get the enemy out of your finances. He'll get the enemy out of your relationships. He'll get the enemy out of your marriage. He says, don't treat your wife harshly. So that means I need to be gentle with my wife. And as I submit to God, I can resist the devil and he stops wreaking havoc on my marriage. I submit to the voice of God. So he spoke, I resist the devil and he flees. This is why it's for our benefit. And then it says this in verse 8, come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is not supposed to be a depressing scripture. When we realize that God is for us, when we hear this stuff, we realize he's trying to pull us close. And he noticed things in our life that are toxic to us. We pray for answers in our life. And God says the way to get that in your life might be to get some stuff out of your life. He says, purify your heart. Draw near, come near so you can hear. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. I need some help. Chris, can you come up? Ryan, can you come up? Leah, come on up. Jim, you're going to be God again. I know you did this in the first, but you are God. And you are here too, and you are here too. Come on, give it up for my help real fast. I brought you up because you're in PJs and we're doing pancakes and pajamas in the back. So that's why. No, she wears this every week. Hey, Leah, you gotta need you up here in the front, please. And all right, so Jim, you're God. All right. I'll tell you what you are in a second. So yeah, I know. So Jim's God. You're gonna, yeah, that way. See, they already, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. They're already here. So you didn't know what to do. She was standing this way. There you go. All right. So Jim's God. Draw near to God, and he'll what? Draw near to you. What if you're trying to draw near to God, but there's stuff standing in the way? God, I don't hear God's voice. I used to hear God's voice when I first found Christ, when I was set free. I heard God's voice so clear, but now I don't hear it. Could it be, I know in my life, that sometimes things get in our heart. He says, purify your heart. Why? Because sometimes the reason why we can't draw near is because maybe we have some bitterness in our heart. And he says, draw near to God. But it's like, I've tried, but there's something here. Yeah. And he says, let me show you what that is. It's bitterness. Do you remember that person who hurt you and you got offended and you didn't let it go? You're festering. That thing is preventing you from hearing God's voice. Yeah. God, can you take that from me? Sure. Go over there. Draw near. I see you, God. You know that pride that's in your heart? You think you're always right in your marriage? I've been there. That thing, you're trying to hear God's voice, but you're not giving people, you're not listening, you're just thinking, you got it, I can handle this job, I can make the decision, I got this. God, I know that your voice is important, but I can do this. There's some pride in your heart. Let's just get rid of that too. Draw near. I can kind of hear him a little bit more. And then maybe there's anything else. Maybe he says, you know what, you're talking about people behind their back and not around. It's called gossip. Things that you're doing. I love you so much, but you're causing division in families and churches because you're talking about other things and there's a thing in your heart and it's preventing you, but if I can take care of that, now I can draw near. Could it be the reason why we're not here? It's not because we have a listening problem, but we've allowed some things in our heart that prevent us from drawing near to God. But when he begins to take those things out, you get closer and closer and closer. Maybe your decision today, see, the enemy wants you to be hurt. He wants you to hold on to unforgiveness because if you hold on to it, he knows he can prevent you from hearing the voice of God. But if you get rid of those things, because God's grace is big enough for your struggles, it's big enough for your problems, he says, let me take care of that. Why? So you can draw near because I have the next step that you need. But you got to take care of some things in your heart first. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You're good. We're going to wrap this up in a second. Draw near to God. Wasn't it the prodigal son who took his father's inheritance? Spent it all, and then when he came back, said his father saw him on the hillside walking back, and it said his father didn't go back inside, but ran after his son. In that culture, someone running like that was actually embarrassing. People didn't run like that. But Jesus wanted to get the point across that when someone turns back to Christ and gives up these things in their heart, Jesus will draw near to you. Will we draw near to him? So maybe you're here today, like, Sean, I've been in my word. I've been listening. I've been at church. But I haven't forgiven that person in 5 years. But I have some pride in my heart. He says, if you begin to work on the inside. I'm telling you, it's an inside voice. You are the temple of God. It's on the inside. And it says the Spirit of God, when you let him in, he begins to do work in your heart. Do you know how to take care of these things in your heart? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you got to invite him in and let him do his work. I thought about that this week and how there's been situations in my life where it's been so hard to hear the voice of God. I said, God, did I do something wrong? Where have you been? Are you being silent? And sometimes God will be silent because all teachers are silent during the test. And if you tune in, he may just show you some things that's in your heart that he wants to save you from. God, I want to fix my marriage. Okay, I hear you. Let me take care of the pride in your heart. God, I want to fix my relationship. God, I want to fix my budget. All right, let me work on some self-control. He begins to work on those things. Draw near to God. I'll draw near to him. Number three, God conversations come from humble invitations. God conversations come from humble invitations. You see, in this scripture we read, Samuel did this twice, and he went and talked to Eli, and as he did this twice, Eli said, go back, it wasn't me, and he lays down, and he falls asleep. And in verse 7, it said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy, so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls, say this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. First off, I love that Eli didn't get mad that a younger person was hearing from God, because that was Eli's job first. Instead, he trained the next generation how to hear from God. He said, speak, your servant's listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. 12 years old, had never heard or experienced God. Maybe it's been 20 years or 40 years. Maybe you were raised in the church, and you've never had a moment like Samuel. But I believe today God wants you to be familiar. In this scripture, it says to know God's voice. That word know in the original language means experience. To experience his voice, to experience his presence, to where it's real. And I thought about this. I thought that when I was looking at this and how God continued to call out to him, I was so thankful. I took a moment. I said, God, I'm so glad you keep talking even when I stop listening. I'm so grateful for a God who keeps talking even though I stop listening. I'm so grateful God didn't try once. And he's like, well, he missed it. Oh, well. But he continued. It's like my daughter who continues to say, Dad, 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 Daddy, 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 Sean, 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 Sean. I'm like, are you calling me Sean? She's like, hi. I've realized that even though I stopped listening, God keeps talking, and he's talking right now. He wants to let you know in this place right now, he has never stopped talking. But will we be listening to say, here's your servant. I'm listening. What does Samuel say? Your servant, I'm in service. Meaning, whatever you speak, God, I'll do it. Your servant. If you want me to tell that person that Jesus loves them, I'll do it. Your servant is listening. If you want me to give, I'll give. If you want me to serve, I'll serve. If you want me to go that place, I'll go that place. Your servant is listening. Don't say your servant is listening if you're not willing to do what he's asked you to do. He says, here's my invitation. So as we look throughout here, we see that the temple of God, and in Revelation 3:20, there's a scripture that goes out that John the Baptist wrote down that Jesus was talking to the churches in Revelation. There's seven of them. And he's talking to the church at Laodicea. And he says these words. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with the person and they with me. Jesus says right here, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't stop knocking. God, Jesus is so full of patience. Till the end of this world that we're on, he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure his creation is brought back to the Creator. And he knocks. See, the start of this series, I want to make sure that you understand the most important thing. Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. Really what's happening is he, in our context, he's inviting the Holy Spirit into his life. Maybe you've made a decision to follow Christ. Have you made a decision to be filled with the Spirit? Sean, that's what happens as soon as you meet Christ. I got biblical evidence that Paul baptized, someone was baptized, and they asked, Paul said, are these people baptized in the Spirit? And they said, no, we don't know what that is. And he re-baptizes them in water. They come out, and then they lay their hands on them, the elders, and they receive the Spirit of God. It's an Acts. Now, what happens in culture today is we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people go to the YouTube videos that you've seen, you know, let the bodies hit the floor, and Benny Hinn's throwing his cloak everywhere, and people are falling. The Holy Spirit's not weird. He wants to talk with you. He wants to live with you. He wants to encourage you and lead you. Do you know why the enemy builds such a controversy around the Spirit of God? Because he knows if we understand it, it's the power we need to live as God asks us to live. So he makes it look weird. He makes it look different. So why? So we'll stay away from it. But our church, we talk about it. We believe in it. We can't do anything apart from the Spirit of God. If it took the Spirit of God to raise Jesus from the dead, you better believe it. We need the Spirit of God to see that life in our life too. What is he saying? If you want to hear God's voice, he just says, open the door. Look at this picture. A guy actually painted this picture based on this scripture. Jesus knocking. And the cool thing about this picture is there's no handle on the outside of the door. That's a picture of our Savior. Yeah, he ransacked hell, but he doesn't force himself in. He waits until we open the door. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again, paid the penalty of death and sin on the cross. Why? So when he knocks, we can open. He says, repent. What does that word mean? Change your mind. The things that you're doing, you need to change the way you live. Turn from it. And as you turn from it, draw near to God, and I'll draw near to you. What we're gonna do in this moment, I'm gonna invite some of our team up right now if they would like to come up to pray. Jim, if you want to come up, I'm going to ask my wife to come down as well off the stage. Also, if you're on our team, our directors, you can come on down front as well for this moment. Thanks. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment to pray for people who want to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what you've heard is as soon as this happens, I don't know what to expect. That's fine. Just open the door. Because we're going to begin to talk about God's voice. But if you've never said, like it says in Scripture, ask for the Spirit, and it says God, who is a good Father, will give without finding fault. He gives generously, not just wisdom, but the Spirit. He says, if a good father gives okay gifts, gives good gifts to his children, how much more would I not want to give the Holy Spirit to someone who asks? So if you've never made that decision, we're going to go back into the song. And what we're going to do is we're just going to put our hand on you, and we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you, that you would hear the voice of God, that when the fire comes in, that's Holy Spirit, that he begin to work in your heart, that he begin to transform you, that I just sense him right now. I just sense him that he wants to do that. If he's knocking, you're going to come up to the front, and he's going to begin to work in your heart. He's going to begin to take care of some stings, some strongholds, some labels, and as that comes in, you'll be near that voice. So if that's you, I don't care if you've been in church for 12 years or this is your first time, we're going to open this spot up for you as we go into this song. But I encourage you, don't hesitate. Just come on down. Don't worry about the people next to you. Bring your friend down if they need to as well. But in this moment, we're going to ask you to come on down. So you guys can continue to worship. Go ahead and do that. If you want to come on down to be prayed, to be full of the Spirit, yeah, come on up. Thank you. Come on up if you want to right now. This is your moment. We're going to lift up your hands. Everyone else, you can go ahead and stand up and worship with the worship team. But if you want to receive the Spirit right now in this place, come on down. Thank you. Come on down. Come on down. Fill the front here. Come on. Let's move into the middle. Come on down here. Yeah, come on down, please. Thank you so much. Come on down to the front. Come over here into the middle. Church, you can keep worshiping if you want to receive the Spirit. Come on down this way, please. Come on, let's scoot down this way. Praise God. Thank you, Ralph. Thanks. Come on down here front, man. Anybody else? God's got some. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. Thanks, Colin. Yeah, if you guys want to begin to put your hands on these people, we're going to pray for the Spirit to receive them. Come on, church. You guys can worship with them.